This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us on Enterprise Biz Bites. It is Monday, the 22nd of March. My name is Audrey Raj. And as usual, with me in the studio is
Frida Liu.
Yes. So on the show today, we're going to be talking about misinformation, about vaccinations, about social media. And we are asking you
this question: where do you get most of your information about the COVID-19 vaccines? Is it social media, news websites, MySajatra, or vaccine sites and others? That is a poll that's happening on Twitter and also on Instagram. The Instagram is probably the shortened version, but do take part in the poll. WhatsApp 018-789-8899.
Also on the show, we're going to be talking about social media for kids, and we'll wrap up the show with a story about the Olympics. Also on the show, we have The Jam, we have No Doubt, and Electric Light Orchestra, all that coming up and more. But of course, like Frida said earlier, our question to you today is, where do you get most of your information about the COVID-19 vaccines? Now, although COVID-19 vaccinations are being rolled out all around the world, a significant number of people are still unsure about signing up for their jabs. This is largely due to misinformation. Now, Malaysia's own vaccine sign-up rate is quite low, which will obviously have a direct impact on our resilience against the pandemic. So what can be done to streamline this information, and what can big tech do about this as well?
Right. So last week, Facebook announced a new plan to help people get vaccinated against COVID-19. They're partnering with Boston Children's Hospital and Vaccine Finder to help people find nearby places to get the vaccine in the US. In other countries, you'll still have access to a COVID information center, but won't be able to find vaccine centers until the shots are more widely available. The company is also leveraging Instagram and WhatsApp to inform users how and where they can get vaccinated, and will label all posts discussing the vaccination with a link to official COVID-19 information. I've seen that already on my personal social media. And it appears to be a step towards fighting COVID-19 misinformation, even though it's been an entire year after the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
Mark Zuckerberg himself said that the data shows that vaccines are safe and they work. They're our best hope for getting past this virus and getting back to normal life.
Yeah, so the company is starting all this by ramping up its COVID information center, which will sit at the top of your news feed and has information on the disease from the World Health Organization and Center for Disease Control and Prevention in the US. Now, it will also show you when and where you can get vaccinated, and it will give you a link to make an appointment, which is great. Now, right now, we can do this on the MySajatra, but, you know, moving forward, if you can do this on Facebook, on WhatsApp, on Instagram, that would be great.
So the COVID Information Center will also debut on Instagram and will be releasing new stickers and Instagram stories as opposed to inspire others to get vaccinated when it becomes available to them. Facebook says it will work with governments to expand WhatsApp chatbots to help people register for vaccines. And these chatbots are already at work in Argentina, Brazil, and Indonesia.
Yeah. Now, as part of this move, the platform says it will be labeling all posts about COVID-19 with a banner that points users to its COVID Information Center, which appears to be a sign that Facebook might be taking the spread of the whole anti-vax misinformation more seriously. And this comes after the Washington Post reported that Facebook was conducting an internal study on vaccine hesitancy. And the report found that in the population segment with the most vaccine hesitancy, just 111 users contributed half of all vaccine hesitant content.
About a month ago, the platform decided to clarify its community standards with regards to COVID-19 information in response to a recommendation from the Facebook Oversight Board, which is an independent entity that rules on content cases across Facebook platforms. The move included launching a transparency center to help users better understand the platform's community standards.
Yeah, so obviously, do you think something like this would be good for us here? You know, because, you know, we mentioned how our sign-up rate is quite low. There's obviously some form of hesitancy there. But, you know, is it really down to misinformation, or are we not actually disseminating information through all the channels just to get to everyone right now?
Right. So I'm just wondering why as well, right? And I'm just, you know, of course, the first thing that comes to my mind, the fake news, right? And then so people are hesitant about it and or just getting your information from various places, right? And it's good to question all these things, but also make sure that you get your sources properly, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Now, speaking about sources, now here's the thing. Now, I hate to call my dad out on air, but I'm going to, because what happened was when we found out that we could actually register for the vaccines, I did it immediately for everyone at home. And I did it for my dad as well. He's in the high risk group, right? So I thought, you know, get him in as soon as possible, right? And he was very keen. He was like, yeah, let's do it. And then within a couple of days, with all these links that he started receiving on WhatsApp,
from the family group.
From the family group, from his friends, from I don't know whom. But all of a sudden, he was like, maybe I shouldn't take this vaccine. You know, I've been hearing about deaths. I've been hearing about people falling ill and now recently blood clots and like, and I've had to sit him down and tell him, like, where are these sources coming from? Where are you learning these things from? But sometimes it comes from a friend who's a reliable source to you. And then what do you do then? Do you question that? And then, of course, you've got all these news propaganda channels from abroad. You know, they have millions of you of followers on Facebook, on Instagram. And when they post videos that also tend to, anti-vax information as well, you know, how do you then try and convince your parents or the older generation that this is fake news, okay, and this is not accurate, right?
So this is important, right? You have to call it, right? Because I get the fake news from my mother. I said, Ma, where are you getting this information from, right? Yeah. And if you can't answer me, I said, Mom, don't create fear, right, among people. Because you're just getting this information from everybody and all that. So sometimes we all, so it could be the parents, but it could be just friends as well, right? It could be a post from here and there and everywhere. And the source may seem reliable, right? But you still have to say, where did this come from? Why, you know, that kind of thing. So you have to do a bit of research as well, right?
Yeah. So we're asking you today, where do you get most of your information about the COVID-19 vaccines? Get in touch with us and tell us 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, at BFM Radio on Twitter and on Instagram. When we come back, we'll let Frida Liu tell you where she gets her information about the COVID-19 vaccines. And also we'll have an expert to talk to us about, you know, how, you know, where people get the most of their news from, and you know how we can actually kind of filter out the misinformation as well. All that is coming up after the Jam with In the City. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes with Frida Liu and Audrey Raj. On the show today, we are asking you,
where do you get most of your information about the COVID-19 vaccines? Let's have a look at the poll results, right? Social media at 57.5%, news websites at 35.8%, My Sejahtera vaccine sites at only 4.2%, others at 2.5%.
Yes, and we have a couple of messages that have come in.
Yes, so we got Maggie Bess here. I depend on BFM for all my info from its various types of coverage. Thanks, BFM. Thank you, Maggie. We didn't pay you for that. Then we have from Cheryl Angmai, says, to those who don't want to get COVID vaccination, let them be. Put law to restrict people without COVID vaccination to cannot go to school, houses of worship, cannot take public transport, and many other things. That's the thought, okay? Ro here says, the RAUCG, that is the Retired Auntie Uncle Chat Group, is arguably the most dangerous source of COVID information, or should I say disinformation. Aunties and uncles, when a WhatsApp begins with from a doctor friend, ignore it.
Yes, tell me about it. You still have about 43 minutes to, you know, jump in and join the conversation. Where do you get most of your information about the COVID-19 vaccines? 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, at BFM Radio on Twitter and on Instagram. But for now, we have with us Dr. One Puspa Mulati, who's a senior lecturer at the Department of Social Sciences at Taylor's University. And we have Dr. One to hopefully answer these questions about misinformation about these vaccines and, you know, what big tech can do about it, right? So, Doctor, where do you think people get the most of their news about COVID-19 vaccines, you know, regardless of authenticity?
Well, for me, given the current high exposure and access to the internet and social media, on top of the current home confinement that a lot of us are experiencing now, I believe that the main source for news on COVID-19 vaccines would definitely be online. In fact, I think any conversation between individuals, even if it's done offline, you know, for example, the anecdotes, the stories about the vaccines that happens maybe face-to-face among people who live together, even those, I feel that the sources usually would come from their readings, the communication that they have had online.
Dr. Wan, do you think there's a gap in communication between researchers, governments and the people regarding the rollout of the vaccine?
I don't think there's any substantial communication gap in communicating the rolled out of the vaccine, or at least here in Malaysia. But I think there's communication gap between researchers, government and people in terms of the vaccine itself, the level of understanding, clarity, reactions towards a vaccine. To begin with, I think the language that they use differ. The different experts would use different jargons. Let's say medical practitioners, when they are communicating those information, might use some medical terms that might not be commonly understood by a lot of people, including government policymakers. So this kind of communication gap, I think, can exist. Okay, so another gap, I think, that affected the effective communication is on the receiver's end. The receiver might engage in selected reading or motivated reasoning, so they choose what they want to believe in. So this can create some form of a communication gap between the people who's trying to share this information as well as the receiver. But this contrasting viewpoint can also stem from additional leaders, like religious community leaders. This is quite pertinent in our cultural context here in Malaysia. So what they say, what they think carries weight, regardless of your scientific proof. So people might feel really overwhelmed. There's so much information. They feel that they no longer know what is true, what is not. So some people would be misinformed, while others might try to disregard all this information that is being fed into them entirely, because it's just too much for them to handle.
Right. Dr. Wan, do you think big tech can play a more active role in dispersing information related to the vaccines?
So in terms of the role of the big tech players, definitely they can do a lot. They have the technological knowledge, the control over the platform. They also have the information on the users, on the data that being used, among others. But also, there are companies that helps with vaccine management. So for example, Microsoft provide this platform where the government, healthcare workers are able to have a seamless registration of vaccine providers, the patients, help them with appointment scheduling, help them with report generating. You also have other giant companies, Oracle, Microsoft, Salesforce and Common Project who partnered together to produce vaccination credential. So sort of like a vaccine passport or digital proof to show that you are clear of COVID, for example. But in Malaysian context, I think it is important for them to also think about localizing the online experiences with the local context and the Malaysian population. So perhaps tech companies can be working with social scientists, for example, looking at some social psychological factors and how this could really help in the vaccine rolled out process. There's evidences that shows, research around the world to show, for example, the willingness to take the vaccine. The percentage differ from one country to the next, which indicates there would be some cultural factors that would affect people's decision whether or not to take vaccine, for example. So, of course, localizing it in Malaysia, things like the vaccine location, vaccine availability, scheduling. I think knowing the user's profile, their socioeconomic status, the kind of pattern of sharing with their network, the motivation, the reaction to exposed information, their readiness to be vaccinated, and what are the social and structural hindrance factors that would affect this rolled out. By understanding this information, these big tech companies could be really innovative in their effort to really assist in this process of vaccination rolled out.
Well, Facebook recently announced its involvement in the vaccine rollout in the US. So what are your thoughts on this, Doc?
I think it's great. You know, I mean, their effort to really help people to find the information where they can get vaccinated, for example. But again, because we use some technology, sometimes technology can fail us, as reported by Stephen's research affiliate from University of Sydney. In the effort of Facebook trying to stop misinformation, some of the information has been provided by health organizations, for example, have been affected, or even some journalists have been affected. So they were not able to do posts. So this ban somehow affected them. Again, I think it's a really great effort done by Facebook, really smart. And I think that would be useful. But additional focus can also be included perhaps in the second, third phase. And of course, Facebook should not be the only one doing this. It should be, you know, collaborative work with other tech companies, with other authorities. And what about those who don't use these kind of networks?
Yeah.
You know, so again, it is a different type of group. So if they get on to this kind of platform, we have this kind of structure, but what if they don't? So these are just some things that we really have to consider. Efforts being done by some great, emulate, improve, innovate, second, third phase, but additional collaborative work and take into consideration some cultural nuances. I think those are some of the pointers that I would like to highlight.
Dr. Wan, final question, and this is something that really pertains to me, definitely. There seems to be information fatigue regarding the vaccines as well, right? How do you think people can curate and filter the information so they're up to date, but also not overwhelmed?
Yeah.
You're right. We do currently experience this excessive information. But there are also individuals who actually would want to get this information, because when they don't have information, they feel that they are out of touch and they feel very anxious, not knowing what's going on.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess, you know, when you say that, you know, how people can curate and filter this kind of information, I think maybe there's four things. Number one, you need to really understand yourself. Your motivation is different. Your level of understanding is different. The kind of reaction that you have is different. Okay, so you know yourself better. Do you prefer the actionable kind of materials? You know, so something that you know how to protect yourself, what can you do to get your vaccine, to get yourself vaccinated? Another thing that people can do is, you know, when they do searches, they can also use, you know, browse privately, you know, for example, incognito tab, for example, you know, where your search is not tracked. So you would not be targeted by certain information that is being managed online, directed to certain groups of people based on your profile and based on your usage pattern, for example. Okay, so this might be another strategy that one could engage in. And also sharing online and offline. Just because those information might be useful for you, but it might be, you know, a bit overwhelming for some others. You know, everything that I get, I want to share it with everybody around me.
Please don't.
You know, I mean, your intentions are good, but, you know, sometimes it can really, really affect people, you know. And again, it could also affect people differently because of their age group, for example. Or their personal stance, you know, how paranoid are they about the current situation, for example. So pause and think again. And I think lastly, maybe you can also tell some people off if need be. Whatever it is that other people believe in and they are really trying to share with you or even imposing onto you. So if you feel uncomfortable, it is okay for us to tell them that, you know, can you please stop sharing with me? I will do my own research. Or, you know, please, I don't feel comfortable talking about this. You know, so we should be able to tell others if you don't feel comfortable and if you think that this kind of information is really overwhelming to you. Okay, tell people off if you feel uncomfortable with this information.
Right. Thanks for that, Doc. That was Dr. Wan Puspamelati, Senior Lecturer at the Department of Social Sciences at Taylor's University.
All right.
Now, Frida, I promised to ask you this. So how do you get your information about the COVID-19 vaccines? Where did you read up about it? Did it find its way to you?
Okay. Well, I work in this radio station, right? And I do get information overload, right? So I'm very careful about where I want to look at things. And then, so of course, you see the My Sejahtera app. So to me, I'd rather sort of go there. And, you know, I hear things, obviously, you know, coming to work and all that. So I just want to say, okay, it's the importance of vaccination. And then we've got comments going on, right, about where this vaccine is from and everything. And, you know, maybe there is some truth to it. What have you? How is it going to impact me? You also have to be, because for me, I just want to get it so that I can start traveling again.
Yeah, so you went actively looking for information on the vaccines.
Not really. I mean, there are various sources, everything. They will just come, you'll just pop, right? But whether I choose to click on it, that's another thing as well, right?
And then, true.
So you have to, and everything has its risks, right?
True.
So you also then find out, okay, how many people did it affect? It's going to affect some people, right? It's going to affect some people, and maybe because the person's of a certain age as well. Everything has its risk. So the risk has been deaths, right? Close to 3 million people have died from this. These are nations that could have been wiped out. I was looking, the population of Slovenia is 2.6 million, right? That's about, you know, imagine the whole country. So there is going to be, everything's going to be risk, right? So what are the pros and cons, right? So get more information about that.
So when we were discussing this question, I actually had to stop and think, like, where am I getting my information about the vaccines? And I realized, like, everything has pretty much come to me. I've not actually had to actively search for information. I mean, yes, we are surrounded by information right here at the station, and of course in the newspapers that we go through every day in order to do our shows and things like that. But also, whenever I've had to, like, look something up, I've always just gone to KKM, the KKM website, or I check the My Sejahtera app. I would look at, even if I had to Google something, I'd look at sources from the NHS, the MOH, I already mentioned KKM, or the Center of Disease Control and Prevention, right?
Right.
So the CDC. So I'm like, those are the only ones that I would trust. I wouldn't trust any other the site, you know, if you ask me. But I'm looking at our poll right now, and we've only had about less than 4% of our respondents have said that they are looking at the My Sejahtera or the vaccination sites.
They probably have friends like our in-house conspiracy
theorist,
Mr. Charles Peters, right? So every time you know, you feel like you're not too sure, and then he sends this, then he's like, it must be fake.
We're asking you today, where do you get most of your information about the COVID-19 vaccines? Have you tried to look it up? You know, where did you look for the information? 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, at BFM Radio, on Twitter and on Instagram. When we come back, we'll go through some of the messages that we've received on Instagram, some of them pretty alarming. We'll also do a little story about social media for kids, Instagram for kids specifically. All that and more coming up after a bit of No Doubt with Don't Speak, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.